digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
The FBI believes they've detected where the next attack will take place.
A chemical plant just outside of Kidron, Ohio.
What's our time frame?
The tank could rupture in less than 15 minutes.
Right now, our best chance to stop this is by finding Dubaku and the CIP device.
400 PSI.
How long before the tank ruptures?
7 minutes.
We got a problem.
I thought you killed Ahmed and Bauer. Damn it! How did they find us?
I don't know!
They're in the building.
Disengage the CIP module. Begin the offload.
Jack, Bill, Tony, and Renee attack Dubaku in his hideout.
Jack, I've got the CIP device. It's been destroyed.
The Tobos are safe. I'm taking them to the van.
Copy that.
I want you and Bill to do a sweep. See if you can find Dubaku.
We are not equipped to look for one man in a city of millions. We need additional resources.
The government?
They can't be trusted. We can't trust anybody. That's why we're working on the outside.
President Taylor can be trusted.
Madam President, you need to listen to me. The people who rescued us, they have required the CIP device. It's been destroyed, and your country is no longer under immediate threat.
Who are these people?
I will tell you everything in person, but I must speak to you alone.
Please get Henry on the phone.
Henry's unreachable.
I'm trying to reach Agent Gedge, and he hasn't picked up. He said he was outside Samantha Roth's apartment waiting for the first jump.
You're telling me my husband's gone missing.
Gedge is dead.
What happened?
Something went wrong. Taylor killed Gedge.
I don't know how.
Don't kill him. Bring him to me.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 4 p.m.
An African man loiters in a back alley. A car approaches at speed. Agent Vossler gets out.
You're certain you weren't followed?
Yes. Come on, help me get him inside.
Vossler and the other man get Henry Taylor out from the boot of the car and hustle him through a doorway. A Korean man looks on from inside. Dubaku walks along a street.
We can confirm at this point the tragedies that unfolded in the skies over Washington and in Kidron, Ohio, were indeed acts of terrorism. But I am here to assure you that those responsible are no longer a threat to this country.
Their attempts to stop us from intervening in the Sangalan genocide have failed. We will not give in to terrorists. A short time ago, I gave the order for our troops to begin operations that will liberate the people of Sangala.
We are confident that the Juma regime will collapse swiftly and that democracy will be restored under the leadership
of Prime Minister Ule Matoba.
Dubaku walks away from the crowd of people who have gathered around the TV screen to listen to the president's address. He walks on and then into a shop. The Korean owner casts him a look as he passes through into the rear. He unlocks a door and descends into a cellar. Men sit around watching TV.
Come.
With his henchmen, he passes through into where Henry sits, bound and gagged. Taylor looks fearfully at Dubaku.
Well done, Agent Vossler.
I've got to go now. I've got a shift that starts at 4.
Then go. Your money will be wired to the usual account. The room is soundproof, Mr. Taylor. There's no point in screaming or trying to call for help. Elemu, remove Mr. Taylor's gag.
You son of a bitch. You're behind my son's death.
He was poking his nose where it did not belong.
You'll never get away with this. You must know that. Everyone in the city is going to be looking for me.
You should be concerned with just one question, Mr. Taylor. Does your wife love you enough to call off the invasion of my country? For your sake, I hope the answer is yes. Activate the scrambling device.
A man takes from him a device and goes to plug it into a laptop.
Our law enforcement agencies will hunt down the people responsible and bring them to justice. I ask now that your thoughts and prayers go to those who lost their lives today, to their families and loved ones, and to our troops who are putting their lives on the line in the name of freedom. Thank you. Good afternoon.
3:05. Kanan helps the president off the podium.
Potopa's arrived. He and the others have been brought in secretly through the underground entrance by agents I personally know and trust.
Potopa told me the people he's bringing in are responsible for saving his life and recovering the CIP device. Who are they?
Bill Buchanan, whom I believe you met when you headed up CTULA. FBI agent named Renee Walker and Jack Bauer.
Bauer. He was one of Motobo's kidnappers. Doesn't make sense.
I know.
Motobo asked me to listen to what they have to say, and I'm willing to do so. Send them in.
President's ready.
They file into the Oval Office, headed up by Motobo.
I can't tell you how thankful we are that you and Alama are safe.
Thank you. She's with Mr. Buchanan's people now, recovering.
That you were subjected to such an ordeal on our soil is a source of shame both to me personally and to my country.
Madam President, my chief concern is for Sangala, not myself. May I ask what your timetable is for the invasion?
I've issued the order to our military to proceed.
I thank you with all my heart. You're doing my people a great service, much as these people have done for your country.
Now, forgive me, Prime Minister, but I'm finding that hard to believe.
I assure you, none of this is as it seems, but they're here to explain themselves. Now, if you'll excuse me, Madam President, I must meet with my people to discuss post-invasion plans.
Of course.
Motobo leaves. Bill, Jack, and Renee shift slightly. President Taylor goes to sit on one of the sofas and turns to them like a sorely tried schoolmarm.
I want an explanation, and I want it now. What the hell is going on?
Madam President, 6 weeks ago, Bill Buchanan discovered the key members of your government were working with General Juma and Colonel DeBaco in an effort to undermine this nation's foreign policy, your foreign policy, with regards to Sangala.
You realize that that is an outrageous accusation?
Yes, ma'am. Unfortunately, it's the truth. It explains why during this crisis, every effort you made to stop DeBaco failed.
Bill, why didn't you come to me?
I didn't know who I could trust, or if you'd even believe me. So I formed a small group to locate and neutralize DeBaco. Tony Almeida and ultimately Jack joined me.
Tony Almeida was the one who put the CIP device into DeBaco's hands in the first place.
Using the CIP device as bait was necessary to the undercover operation. We had to follow it back to DeBaco.
A lot of people died on those planes. Never mind what could have happened at the chemical plant in Kidron.
Madam President, if I may. I was part of the FBI task force assigned to recover the CIP device, and I can personally vouch for what they're telling you. The loss of life was tragic, yes, but in my opinion, everything these men have done saved the lives of thousands.
If I choose to believe everything you're telling me, where would you go from here?
DeBaco is the only person with the names of the people who betrayed you within your government. It's imperative that we find him. We would have to work under the radar. Any word of an investigation, people will start running for cover.
You're saying we can't even involve the FBI and Homeland?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
A man enters and whispers to the president.
Tim Woods on the phone. He says it's urgent.
Put him through.
I'm through.
Have a seat. Yes?
Madam President, I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a call for you from E.K. DeBaco. Voice ID confirms that. He says it's about your husband.
My husband?
Yes, ma'am. I'll connect you.
Kanan holds his mobile to his ear.
This is President Taylor.
I'll come straight to the point, Madam President. I have your husband. Let me demonstrate. Say something.
Allison?
Henry, are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm sorry about this. For God's sake, don't let them use me to influence you in any way.
My demands are as follows. You will have your forces withdrawn from around my country, Sangala, immediately and permanently. Also, Otobo must be delivered to my men, who will be stationed at the east lot of the Stanswick power plant. If he is not there by 4 o'clock, or if anybody attempts to follow or impede my men when they leave the plant, your husband will die a slow and certain death.
You wouldn't dare.
Cut off his finger.
Dubaku's men swiftly surround Henry. One picks up a vicious serrated knife. Dubaku coolly holds the phone close so that President Taylor will hear the better.
Stop it! Stop it!
Jack gets up and walks closer to President Taylor.
Meet my demands, or I will send him back to you one piece at a time. Do you understand, Madam President?
Yes, I understand.
Any attempt to find your husband will be known to me very quickly, and I will kill him immediately.
Madam President, I just heard back from the team I sent to Henry's last known location. They found Samantha Roth, Secret Service Agent Gedge's bodies. Gedge had possession of a paralytic drug. That and other evidence on scene suggests he was complicit in Henry's abduction, which of course confirms the corruption you just told us about. Madam President, time is tight. We need to decide how to respond. I don't think anyone would blame you for holding back, at least temporarily, the invasion of Sangala.
How many people died on those planes? How many?
About 300, ma'am.
All because I refused to change course in Sangala. How can I ask the American people to make sacrifices that I'm not willing to make myself? I can't give in. I can't.
Madam President, we can still try and find your husband before the 4 o'clock deadline.
Dubaku has specifically forbidden that. And according to you, I can't trust any of my law enforcement agencies.
You can trust me. Right now, everyone believes that Angel Walker is dead and I have no status at all, which means that Dubaku's spies cannot track us because officially we don't exist.
You resigned from government service, and the Senate regards you as having been a renegade agent. How am I supposed to know where your loyalties really lie?
With all due respect, Madam President, ask around.
Bill and Renee gaze at the president, who gazes at Jack.
What could you even do on such short notice?
I couldn't make you any promises. But we would do everything possible to save your husband. Right now, we need you to go along with the Baku's demands. Help buy us some time. Madam President, you don't have another choice.
Taylor looks down at her desk and then back up to Jack.
All right. Find him, please.
Yes, ma'am. We're gonna need a secure hardliner.
Jack and Renee leave with Kanan. Bill remains standing looking at Taylor, who closes her eyes in anguish. End of part one.
You may use this room if you need to. I'll have you escorted back out through the underground entrance when you're ready.
I'm going to need a copy of the President and the First Gentleman's Secret Service details.
I'll have her brought to you.
Thank you. Okay, we'll start off with Agent Gitch. We need to access his phone records. I want to know who he's been talking to over the last few hours. Obviously, we can't use any of the president's security people. Thank you.
Phone logs are highly classified, especially for agents assigned to the First Family. Can Chloe O'Brien get access?
It'd be faster if we can get someone who's already got clearance.
Larry Moss.
He doesn't strike me as someone who's willing to work outside the system.
That's true, but I think I can persuade him to do what we need.
You really trust him?
Yes. We know each other pretty well.
Fine. Try it. We don't have much time.
At FBI HQ, Larry is getting a coffee.
It's Agent Moss.
Larry, it's Renee. I'm alive, but you can't let anyone know. Do you understand me?
Larry, gobsmacked, slips into a side corridor.
Renee? What? Where are you? Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'll explain later, but right now we need your help.
Who's we?
Myself and Jack Bauer.
What?
He's on our side, Larry, just like he said. Everything that he did, he'd been to preserve his cover.
Renee, this whole time, I've been thinking you were dead. Why didn't you tell me?
Bureau is compromised, Larry, just like he said, and no one there can know about this operation. It has to stay completely off book.
What operation?
Jack and I are at the White House. The first gentleman has been kidnapped by E.K. Dubaku.
I don't know anything about that.
It's true. The president's asked Jack and me to find him. Very few people know about this, and that's the way that it has to stay. If we don't find him by 4 p.m., he'll be killed. Larry, if you've ever trusted me, trust me now, please, and help me.
What do you want me to do?
Looks like the first gentleman's Secret Service agent was involved in all of this. Brian Gedge, he's dead. You need to check his phone logs and get all the information you can about who he's been in contact with recently.
I need to see you. Make sure this is real, that you're not under duress.
There's no time for that.
No, that's non-negotiable. You want my help? We meet.
Capital Reflecting Pool. As soon as you can get there.
Okay, fine. He'll help us, I think, but we need to go.
317. 321 at FBI HQ.
President Taylor emphasized the terrorists are no longer a threat and says the invasion will begin. He also says former Prime Minister Ule Mutombo will be reinstated toward building a new democratic government.
CIP device in Mutombo have been recovered, but how could that have happened without us knowing about it?
Well, it just means whatever agency's responsible hasn't let us know.
What other agency? We're being kept out of the loop, and I don't like it.
Erica and Sean stand close to each other.
So am I seeing you later?
I don't know. I've got some things to figure out.
What does that mean?
It means I have to get home at some point. I haven't seen Christine in a week.
Right? Sean, are you right?
I'm fine.
Just sensing a little distance.
I just have to get back to work.
Erica walks off, clearly hurt. Janice stomps across.
Excuse me. Could you be a little less obvious, do you think?
What are you talking about?
Give me a break. You just hold up a sign that says, "Hey, world, we're sleeping together." Are you stupid?
I know it's stupid and wrong, and I'm gonna end it.
Yeah, you better fast before Larry notices.
Where is Larry?
I don't know. That's not the point. The point is, if he finds out about this, he's gonna transfer your ass to Juno so fast your head'll spin.
Jack and Renee get out from a car parked on Washington's Grand Boulevard. 323. They look around circumspectly as they walk towards where Larry stands with his back to them, staring across the water at the Capitol building. He spins round.
Larry.
Oh, my God.
I thought I'd never see you again.
Jack, who has been hanging back, now crosses to Larry.
Were you able to access Agent Gedge's phone records? Yeah. Yeah, over the last 3 hours, Gedge spoke repeatedly to another Secret Service agent named Edward Vossler. I checked out Vossler's personnel records, and before he was a Secret Service agent, he was Special Forces, and for 2 years, served in Sangala.
So we can assume Vossler's working for Dubaku. Did you bring any of his files with you?
Yeah.
He hands Renee what looks like a mobile. She steps aside and starts punching buttons.
Does Vossler have a family?
Why do you need to know that?
Does he have a family?
He's been married for 5 years to a paralegal.
They have an 11-month-old baby boy. She left her job to stay home with the kid.
Okay, we're gonna need to split up. I need you to help me track Vossler. I need you to go to his home and hope his family is there. Vossler was Special Forces. There is no way we're gonna break him in the time that we've got. The only way to get him to cooperate is to make him think we're gonna hurt his family, his wife and his kid.
No, absolutely not. Renee?
That's stepping over the line, Jack.
You stepped over the line the second you interrogated Tanner.
Tanner's a murderer. As far as we know, Vossler's wife is completely innocent, let alone a small child.
When are you people gonna stop thinking everyone else is following your rules? They're not! DeBacco is gonna kill Henry Taylor within the next 45 minutes unless we find him. You've got one of two choices. Now, you can either phone the president and explain to her that your conscience won't allow you to do what is necessary to save him, or you can simply do what is necessary. Pick one.
Renee?
Larry.
Renee walks away, clearly upset.
Renee, I'm gonna need your vehicle. Start tracking Vossler through his cell phone. Utilize a Secret Service deployment grid.
Look at yourself. You've lost everyone and everything you ever had by doing what you think is necessary. I won't let you do it to her, Bauer. Renee will not end up like you.
Jack narrows his eyes and takes a step towards Moss.
Are you gonna give me your keys or not?
In the tense standoff that follows, Moss's face registers the full range of negative emotions. He finally reaches in his pocket and rather petulantly flings his keys at Jack. Jack catches them and turns to walk away.
Jack! Jack! The rules are what make us better.
Not today.
Jack turns and hurries off. Larry blinks as if struggling to comprehend this new reality. 3:26, he walks off in the opposite direction. In Dubaku's cellar,
I saw Don Taylor's bleeding, but I can't get it to stop completely.
The tourniquet is as tight as possible.
Yes.
Then cauterize the wound. Michele has a blowtorch.
You risk Taylor going into shock.
Just put something in his mouth. I don't want him biting his tongue with the pen. Hey, what are you doing at home? Eh? I thought you'd be at work.
I was. Rosa called me at the diner. She was having one of her episodes.
You know your sister. She's just manipulating you.
You don't have to go to her every time she calls.
I'm all she has, Samuel. Be kind.
You know, you're kind enough for both of us.
I just wanted to make sure that you are still coming to dinner tonight.
Look, I'm really sorry, but I can't. I'm looking at the stack of shipping manifests.
Oh, no. Isn't there some way? I mean, we could do it as late as you want.
I really wish I could. I'm sorry, Marika. Listen, baby, I'll make it up to you, okay?
Okay. Well, I'm gonna make extra just in case you change your mind.
You're too good to me.
You're right.
As Marika hangs up, her sister enters the dining room in her wheelchair.
I have to get back to the diner, Rosa. You gonna be okay? Who was that on the phone? It was him, wasn't it?
All right, stop. I know you don't approve of Samuel, but I love him.
Oh, you love him. Why? Because he spends money on you? Because he pays our rent? You've only known him 4 months.
What difference does that make?
You don't know anything about him. What if he's not the importer he says he is? Or that he's in this country illegally?
Oh, it's not this again.
I'm just trying to protect you, Marika.
I don't need your protection.
Yes, you do. This man isn't...
Isn't what?
Nothing. Forget it.
I'm sorry, I don't have time for this. I'll be home after my shift.
Rosa watches her sister go. Her face remains anguished. She looks down and picks up a white envelope sitting on her lap. 3:28. In the Oval Office.
We can appear to comply with the first part of DeBacco's demand by pulling the fleet back. Then we simply launch the invasion from farther out at sea. Now, the second part of his demand is more complicated. If we were really turning Matoba over, we'd be putting him in a car right about now.
Well, that's out of the question. We need him safe.
Agreed. But we can't send a car with a lookalike. If we handle it right, DeBacco won't be aware of the deception until the last minute.
By then, hopefully, we'll have found Henry. Madam President,
Do we have your authorization to proceed?
Yes.
Jack drives at speed through the streets of Washington. He takes the call.
Bauer.
Okay, I've got Vossler. He's on the beltway near Bethesda, moving south, about 7 miles from you.
Copy that. I'm on my way. Where's he headed?
According to the Secret Service log, his ship starts at 4 p.m. He's meeting a foreign dignitary's plane at Andrews. Jack, I don't have to tell you, once he's through that gate and onto that base, you're not going to be able to touch him.
Okay, he's going to have to double back on the 337 if he wants to get through that main gate. I should be able to make up time by taking Connecticut. Just keep sight of him.
Have you heard from Renee? You know if she's arrived at Vossler's house yet?
No, but she knows how to get in touch with us if she's in trouble.
Larry flips his phone closed and looks around anxiously. A white picket fence in a leafy suburb. Renee comes along the street and goes through the gate of a modest, neatly white-painted clapboard house.
Coming!
The woman comes to the door with her baby.
Can I help you?
Renee pushes in, gun drawn.
Who are you?
Shut up, do what I tell you, and there's a chance you'll live through this.
3:30, end of part two. Part 3, 3:35. In the Vossler house, the baby cries alone in his playpen.
Don't move. He's scared.
Stay where you are or I will shoot you where you stand.
You're going to kill me for trying to comfort my baby?
Sit down.
What kind of a person are you doing this to us?
You should ask your husband that.
What are you talking about? Edward is a good man.
Maybe you don't know him quite as well as you think you do.
I know he would never point a gun near a child.
Shut up! Put the cuff around your wrist. Now!
Mrs. Vossler obeys, moving further from her crying baby and cuffing herself to the leg of the metal table. Jack continues driving.
Okay, where is he now?
He just got up the beltway. He's stopped in traffic.
Okay, I'm coming up on the intersection of Allenford and Auth. I should be there in 30 seconds. Just let me know if he moves.
Vossler, at the wheel of a large black car, pulls away in quite heavy traffic.
He's moving.
Damn it! What's the next street north?
Baxter Drive. But Jack, it's a one-way street.
Copy that.
Jack speeds away as Larry continues to track Vossler.
We made a light at Allenford.
Jack spins his vehicle into oncoming one-way traffic.
Come on, Baxter.
He's 15 seconds away, Jack.
Jack surges out from the side street in Larry's large SUV and smashes into the side of Vossler's car, sending it spinning into parked vehicles. Jack gets out.
Let me see your hands! Now!
Jack pistol whips Vossler.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car! Move!
3:37. He drags Vossler into the entrance lobby of an apartment building.
Taylor.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where is he?
Fine. We'll do this your way.
Jack pulls out his mobile and calls. Renee answers.
Yes.
I got Vossler. You got his wife?
And his child.
You ready?
Yes.
Put your phone on speaker.
Talk to your wife. You son of a bitch.
Talk to your wife!
Carol? Are you all right?
There's a woman with a gun. She's threatening to kill me.
Why is Connor crying?
Oh, my God, Edward. What's happening? Who are these people?
You are running out of time.
I didn't want to have to do this.
No, you wouldn't.
What's happening?
I don't know. She's got Connor. Oh, my God, she's doing something to Connor. Let go of my baby. He's just a baby, please.
What the hell are you doing?
You can stop this. Just tell me where he is.
For God's sake, Edward! Tell them what they want to know!
Damn it! All right, I'll tell you!
Stand down, I'll get back to you.
Renee, with tears in her eyes, stops whatever she was pretending to do to the child and picks it up lovingly to restore it to its mother.
The baby's fine. You're a monster!
Where is he? You tell me now where the situation for your family goes from bad to worse. Where is he?
How do I know that you're just not going to kill him anyway?
You don't.
Fine. There's a greengrocer, 12451 Arlington Avenue. They're holding him in the basement.
Access.
There's a staircase in the back, but it's always locked.
Ibaka with him?
He was.
How many guns are guarding him?
At least four.
Get out of here!
Distracted by a man walking into the lobby, Jack has his gun kicked out of his hand by Vossler, who then draws a dagger. They fight. Jack appears to have been wounded in the abdomen or ribs. Vossler has the knife perilously close to Jack's throat. Jack makes one final effort, wrenching Vossler's arm round so that the man stabs himself in the midriff. He slides to the floor. Jack, wincing with pain, retrieves his gun. Vossler slumps down, apparently dead. Jack looks out to see people milling around the wreckage of the cars outside.
Get away from the car! Walk away! Now!
Larry's vehicle appears unusable. Jack hijacks a passing car.
Get out of the car now! Move! Move!
.340. .345. Bill briefs agents and a Matobo lookalike.
The goal is to make it look like we're going to hand Matobo over for as long as is reasonably possible. When you get to the rendezvous point, keep your distance from Dubaku's men. Let them see you in the back seat, but do not get out of the car. Don't let them get any closer than you feel comfortable with. As soon as you start to feel like the risk is unacceptable, get the hell out. That's straight from the president. Clear?
Clear.
Good luck.
The agents escort the Matobo lookalike out. Vossler's wife sits on her sofa.
Jack?
I got an address for Henry Taylor. 12451 Arlington Avenue. It's a storefront. He's being held in the basement. If you get there before I do, I want you to stand down. Tobacco's got at least four gunmen there.
All right.
Meanwhile, I'm going to call Bill, pull him up to speed. I want you to do the same thing with Larry.
Hey, what about Vossler?
He's dead. He attacked me. I didn't have a choice. You okay?
Renee's eyes widen, and she casts a look of sadness across the room towards Mrs. Vossler.
No, I don't think I am.
What do you mean? What's wrong? Agent Walker, are you still there?
I'm not.
Listen to me. We could not have gotten this far if it wasn't for you. Okay? Now, no one would blame you if this was just too much for you to handle. Maybe you should get out.
Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
She looks across at Mrs. Vossler. 3:46, the Matobo lookalike leaves the building.
Agent Matson and I are on our way.
We'll be tracking you via satellite. Check in with me when you're approaching the power plant.
Yes, sir.
How much time do you think this will buy us?
Until Dubaku realizes Matobo's not in the limo. 10 minutes, maybe 15.
That's 15 minutes more than we had.
Madam President, I just got off the phone with Jack Bauer. He and Agent Walker think they have a location on your husband.
Where?
Arlington Avenue. They're on their way now.
How long will it take them?
10, 15 minutes.
Thank you.
At FBI HQ, Erica brings a document to Sean.
This just came over from Homeland. It's like you said. You kept out of the loop.
Thanks.
Sean walks off with the document. Janice looks up at Erica. Erica looks puzzled and shakes her head. Sean approaches Larry.
Did you see this? Homeland's preparing to lower the threat level at the president's request.
Yeah, I saw the flash.
Don't you think that's odd, considering we don't know anything about the CIP device being recovered? Yeah, I'll talk to Homeland.
What I'm saying is, I'm feeling like there's something going on behind their back here.
Like I said, I'll talk to him. Excuse me.
Yeah, sure.
Larry goes into a side office to take the call.
Where are you?
On my way to where we think Henry Taylor's being held.
So you got Bosler to talk?
It gave us our only chance to rescue the president's husband.
What's the address? I'll send a SWAT team to meet you.
You know you can't do that. The Bureau's compromised. It'll jeopardize any attempt that we make. But there is something else that I need you to do.
And what's that?
Keep an incident quiet until what Jack and I are doing goes down.
What incident?
Bosler's dead. Jack killed him at the hotel on 18th and Reagan. It was self-defense.
Is that what he told you?
Larry!
Damn it, Renee. What the hell are you doing with this guy? We're supposed to bring suspects in, not murder them.
Larry, please. And until we know who Dubaku's source is there, you've got to handle this outside of the Bureau, okay?
Larry seems stretched almost to breaking point.
There's a guy in D.C. Metro I know I can trust. I'll have him deal with Vossler.
Thank you, Larry.
In Dubaku's cellar, 348.
I understand. I will let him know. According to our sources, a vehicle containing Motobo just left the White House.
Good. What is the state of the American invasion forces?
Fleet is withdrawing from Sangalan territorial waters and has set steam for the 23rd Meridian.
Excellent. Hello?
It's Rosa.
Rosa, if you're looking for Marika, she's not with me.
I'm looking for you, Samuel, or whatever your real name is.
What are you talking about?
My sister may be naive, but I'm not. I checked with someone I know in immigration services, and no one named Samuel Aboa immigrated from Senegal in the last year or in the last 15 years.
Well, they've obviously made a mistake.
You're making a mistake. Now, I don't know who you really are, and I don't care. I just want you out of my sister's life.
Does Marika know about this?
No, not yet, and I'm willing to keep it that way.
So you've not reported me to anyone?
No, I don't want Marika to know anything about this.
What do you want?
Break up with her. And this stays between us. You just end it tonight, and we won't have a problem.
Dubaku's eyes widen. He closes his phone and reaches for a pistol.
I have to take care of a little problem. Call me when we have Motobo.
350. End of part 3. Part 4, 354. Renee pulls up opposite the Korean grocers. Jack speeds along, weaving through traffic. He picks up his ringing phone.
Yeah.
The vehicle is supposed to be delivering Motobo is arriving at the power plant. If we delay any longer, Dubaku is going to get suspicious. What's your status?
I'm almost there. How much time can you buy us?
I don't know, Jack.
Okay, Agent Walker and I will move in as soon as I get there. I'll keep you posted.
All right, good luck.
This is Agent Smith. We've got a visual on Dubaku's men.
Understood. We have it on satellite.
The car bearing the Motobo lookalike pulls into a rough yard in the midst of a power plant. Several African men in combat fatigues and carrying machine guns stand waiting as they pull to a stop. 355. The security man in the driver's seat lays his pistol ready at his side. One of the African men gestures towards them.
Bring him to us!
President Taylor, along with Kanan and Bill Buchanan, intently watch the satellite pictures of the plant. One of the African men picks up his satellite phone.
They've ordered us to get out of the car.
Not one of them's making a call.
Hang tight, Agent.
The car arrives.
But nothing is happening.
What do you mean nothing's happening?
We ordered them to hand Motobo over to us, but no one's getting out of the vehicle.
The Americans have been playing us. Destroy their vehicle.
Yes, sir.
It's long enough. Get them the hell out of there.
Retreat!
Get out now!
Roger that.
At a signal from the guard, a rocket is launched at the car. President Taylor closes her eyes and puts a hand to her face as the screen relays pictures of the car dissolving into a ball of fire. Renee waits. Jack slews to a halt beside her. They both get out. 357.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go.
They cross the road and enter the store. Jack pulls his gun.
Get out from behind the counter. Now! Move!
He walks the storekeeper through to the rear, holding the gun to the man's head.
Okay. I want you to unlock that door, and I want you to ask those men what they want to eat. You do one thing I don't like, and I will blow your head off. You understand me? Open the door.
Jack holds the man in his sights. The man goes to the door leading into the cellar and unlocks the padlock. Renee looks on intently. The Korean enters and addresses Dubaku's men down below.
Want anything to eat?
No, some cold beers.
Okay.
Jack smashes his pistol butt into the man's face, knocking him unconscious beside a pile of crates. Jack then edges his way through the door and kneels down beside a rough hole in the brickwork through which he is able to see a couple of Dubaku's men sitting below. Taking a small mirror from his pocket, he holds it up to the hole and spies out the other men sitting in the other side of the room. He gestures four back to Renee. He signals to Renee to move in. She creeps in, gun drawn, and gets down low behind the banister. Dubaku's lieutenant answers his phone.
Yes.
Kill Henry Taylor.
Then we have nothing to hold over their heads.
We don't have anything now. The president was willing to let him die. We are done here. Kill Taylor. And have the men pack everything up.
Understood.
One of the men catches sight of Renee. Jack shoots him. With just a brace of pistols, Jack and Renee overcome the cellarful of heavily armed Africans. The wounded lieutenant limps through to the rear to carry out Dubaku's sentence on Taylor. Jack fells the man, but the lieutenant's dying action is to loose one final round at Taylor, hitting him squarely in the abdomen. Taylor topples backwards. Jack enters, shocked to see what has occurred.
Sir. We're gonna get you help. Just stay with me.
Renee enters and stares. Jack desperately tries to help Taylor. 4 p.m. The end.